Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name. When the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. On the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name.
Psalm 86. All nations whom you have made will come and worship before you, and they will glorify your name, for you are great and you do wondrous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your ways, Lord. I walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name, and I will give thanks to you, Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever, for your graciousness toward me is great. And you have saved my soul from the depths of Sheol. We're going to sing an old favorite hymn, How Great Thou Art.
Consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and lead me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou.
We do so with joy, with gladness, and with thanksgiving for the opportunity to just gather in your name and to lift up our voices. And Lord, may it truly be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Help us, Father, to concentrate upon you. Lord, as we have come to you in worship, I pray that it wasn't that we just sang some songs because we felt like we didn't have anything better to do, but Father, rather we praised you and worshiped you. And Lord, we are ushered into your presence right now. Father, we know you're here. Your word promises that. Help us to give ear to the Spirit today as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you've got your Bible this morning, we're going to be looking at some passages in just a moment out of Matthew's Gospel in chapter 24. Now, as we have come together today, this has been one of those weekends that I will call and say goes down in infamy. It is one of those weekends that reminds us exactly where we are, where we were, if we were alive, that is, reminds us exactly where we were, exactly what we were doing when life as we know it changed on September the 11th of 2001. How many of y'all remember that day? Most of you could probably recall or recount every single move that you made on that day. I know I am one of those. I think about that often. I think about what that day was like. I can still remember my son that most of you around here know and seen, that's pretty much a grown man right now, was in preschool. And Jana had taken him to preschool. I was getting ready to leave the house to head to the church. It wasn't this church. It was my previous church. And Jana called me and she said, you know, she said, Mom just called me and said that there was a plane that had flown into the World Trade Center in New York. You might want to turn the TV on. And I did. At which point I watched the events unfold. I did not move for the rest of the day. I stayed right there because I was watching all this happen live. And of course, at that particular point, nobody had any idea what really was going on. As the news was breaking, we just felt like, well, this may have been a tragedy. Maybe there was just something that happened to an aircraft that had taken off. You know, we always try to look for the best in every situation right out of the gate, or at least we should. But that's a different sermon for a different day. And yet I still remember sitting there, and to me, it is still that the images, the sights, the sounds, the smells of that particular day are so poignant. I still remember watching on TV, and I kept thinking, well, what is that? Is that a news helicopter or something that's coming from the background? And I know that there were probably many of you like me that were watching what was happening and what was unfolding that actually saw the second aircraft hit the second tower live on television. How many of you all saw? You were watching that when it happened. And I couldn't believe it. I thought, this is not real. This is not something that is happening. You know, I thought, one, I can understand that maybe that's an accident, but how could this happen? Two can't be an accident. And then as time progressed throughout the day, I heard the words that I can remember so vividly. America is under attack. Words that I never ever thought that I would hear on U.S. soil. America is under attack. You know, for us and for our generation, the best way to say it is, this is our generation's Pearl Harbor. Most of us know the history of what took place in Pearl Harbor in Hawaii during World War II. This is our Pearl Harbor. It was something that shook the foundations of every single person in America. Every single person that I know watched as things took place. And so many times we sit back and say, we need to remember, and we do. We need to pause. This is something that should not go out of our hearts. The folks who lost their lives on that particular day 20 years ago yesterday. The cowardly event that took place. But yet the heroes that stepped up. Those who ran into the danger rather than away from it. Mankind, that the best in humanity came out in the midst of the circumstances. It didn't matter, you know, what team you rooted for. It didn't make any difference what region of the world you came from. It didn't make any difference what your race was. In the heat of that moment, America came together. We came to the aid of our fellow man. In just a moment, I'm going to carry you back 20 years ago. the sounds that maybe you didn't hear, maybe you did. But for us to really remember, we have to have an understanding. You know, even Jesus told us, he said, when we partake in the Lord's Supper, he said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me, to remember Calvary's cross. Folks, we need to remember the best of humanity from September the 11th of 2001. That's what we need to remember. The time that for a while our country came together. A time when our heroes were respected. I want that again. I believe it's possible. But I don't want to have to see a tragedy for America to come back together. 20 years ago yesterday, these were the sights and sounds that you heard.
We just had a plane crash into level 4 of the World Trade Center, transmit a second alarm, and start relocating companies into the area.
The World Trade Center, tower number 1, is on fire. The whole outside of the building was just a huge explosion.
We have a number of floors on fire. It looked like the plane was aiming towards the building.
World Trade Center, taxi, every available ambulance, everything you got to the World Trade Center now.
George, have them mobilize the army. We need the army in Manhattan.
Big bang, and then we saw smoke coming out, and everybody started running out, and we saw the plane on the other side of the building, and there was smoke everywhere.
Marine 6 to Manhattan, urgent.
Hazmat 1 stand by, Marine 6, go.
You have a second plane into the other tower of the Trade Center, major fire.
Marine 6 to Manhattan, urgent.
Okay.
One of the buildings is partially collapsed. C3, a major collapse in one of the towers.
The other tower just collapsed. Major collapse. Major collapse.
The World Trade Center's collapsed. Building 2 has collapsed. Okay.
Right now we're all alone. The second building came down. I can't see. So we have no contact with anybody at this time. Okay.
Ago yesterday, 3,000 people's lives started just like any normal day. They got up, got dressed, prepared to go about their day, take their children to school, got ready to encounter whatever the day would hold, and they never came home. This is not original to me, but I thought it was very poignant. It says the head of a company survived 9/11 because his son started kindergarten. Another man was alive because it was his turn to bring donuts. One woman was late because her alarm clock didn't go off on time. Another was late, stuck on the New Jersey Turnpike because of an accident, and his life was spared. One missed his bus. One spilled food on her clothes and had to take the time to change. One's car wouldn't start. One couldn't get a taxi. One went back to answer the house phone. A man who put on a new pair of shoes that morning developed a blister before he got to the tower, so he stopped at a drugstore to buy Band-Aids. It saved his life. When you're stuck in traffic, you oversleep, you miss your ride, all the little things that annoy you, maybe you're exactly where you're meant to be at that very moment. May all who perished on September the 11th, 2001, rest in eternal peace, and may the loved ones still grieving find strength for the journey. It kind of puts a different perspective on the day, doesn't it? When we look at it in that light and when we view it that way, as 3,000 people headed off to a normal day, the policemen, the firefighters, just like another normal day, and yet they rose to the challenge, even to the point of drawing their last breath. To me, folks, that is what humanity does. That is what godly humanity should do. Now, why do I say, what did this remind me of? A moment ago, I had you turn in your Bible to passages out of Matthew's Gospel in chapter 24, and we're going to look at those because, you know, when we consider things, I don't think any of those people that morning got up and said, there is going to be a catastrophe today. I don't think anybody got up that day and said, there are going to be planes that are going to be flown in to the Twin Towers. There's going to be a plane that's going to be flown into the Pentagon. There's going to be a plane inbound for somewhere, but it's going to go down in the field. You know, United Flight 93, we don't take away from them being heroes as well because they saved lives that day as well. Nobody got on that airplane thinking that what was going to happen next would be what would happen. None of those firefighters reported for their shifts of duty thinking that it would be the last time they would ever see their children. You know, the one that got on flight 93 that called back, that was part of the ones to take the plane back, who had two children and one on the way, who said, be sure to tell my wife and my kids how much I love them. Hopefully I can tell you myself when I get back, but if I don't, tell them I love them. And they never made it home. You see, if we knew these things would happen, we would prepare, wouldn't we? If we knew that it would be to the magnitude that it is, then we would make preparation. Now I'm going to ask you, how many of you, I mean, you look at it and you say, nobody could consider the magnitude of what took place in Manhattan or downtown New York when all this took place. You said, well, even if you'd have known what was going to happen, it would have been hard to have prepared for that. Would we have done things to differently prepare? If you knew that, yes, you would. Our country has changed since that day. That is where the Department of Homeland, because of that was the founding of the Department of Homeland Security. We don't fly like we used to, do we? We're not able to go about like we used to in the past because of the threats to our country. That day changed everything about what was normal as we went forward in some way, shape, form, or fashion, even to this very day. And had we known, we would have better prepared. How many of you, come on, I want to see you now. How many of you all would have prepared? Had you known, if you were going in the tower that day to work, you would have taken your time, drug your feet, not shown up, whatever. Or even if you had to be there, you'd have thought, as an emergency responder, as emergency personnel, here are some things we could do to prepare for this. How many of you in those positions would have done something to prepare? I got to see your hand. Okay? You would. Now, let me put this in perspective, and then I'm going to hit our scriptures. There is even a bigger event that is going to happen, and we need to be prepared. Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse 36, says this: But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in a field. One will be taken, the other one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other one left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now, is that not a warning that you and I need to be prepared as God's people for the time when the trumpet will sound, when time will be no more, when death may take us away from here? I mentioned a moment ago that all these folks that were victims of the 9/11 tragedy started their day like any other day, a lot like you did today. You don't know that when you walk away from this place, there might not be a tragic automobile accident on the way home. You don't know that on the way home, the trumpet might sound, the rapture may occur, and then it's going to be too late. The question is, are you ready? Now, we know what that event did to and for each and every one of us, the 9/11 Twin Towers tragedy. Now, I want you to get this in perspective. We know what the Word says about when the Lord calls His children home, right? It says that in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, it says the dead in Christ shall rise, and those of us who are alive and well and remain will be caught up together to meet Him in the air. So what that would mean is, if it occurred at this very moment, there's nothing going to happen except you're going to see me do what you would think is, I hope you don't see it, but at any rate, all of a sudden, I'm going to disappear and a pile of clothes are going to fall right where I am. If you know the Lord, they're just going to be a pile of clothes sitting where you are. So guess what else that means? That means if you're going down the road and you're driving a truck and you get called out of here and you got the cruise set on 70, you gone. What's happening to that truck? It ain't going with you. It's going to keep on going. What about those airliners that are flying around and the pilot and half the crew, or the pilot and all the crew, has disappeared? A lot of the passengers have disappeared. Can you imagine the chaos that will take place globally and worldwide when that happens? Folks, let me tell you something. 9/11 will be minuscule compared to what's going to take place when the rapture occurs. It is like, yeah, 9/11 took place in one region, in one area. This will be globally. This will be worldwide. This will touch every life, every home, every city, every town across the planet. Now, you talk about some chaos. There's going to be some chaos. Now, remember what I asked you a moment ago. I said this. If you knew something like that was going to happen, would you prepare? And overwhelmingly, when we looked at it that way, every one of us goes, oh yeah, yeah, I'd get ready. I would make sure that I was ready. If I would have been there that day, knowing what I know now, here are the things I would have done to help save lives on that particular area. And not only save lives, but save my own life. Folks, I'm begging you today to understand something. Jesus Christ is calling us out of here before long. It's coming. It's coming. He tells us how it's going to happen. We have been given everything that we need to know. Now, you know how I have contended to solve this issue in my own personal life. Here's how I've contended to solve it. I intend not to be here when the trumpet sounds. You know what? I'll leave that to the Lord. He's the one that can handle that. I'm not going to have to worry about all the mass destruction that's going to take place, because you know what I'm going to be doing? I'm going to be looking Jesus eye to eye. I'm going to be with Him. I'm going to be in the place that's safe. I'm going to be in the place that He has prepared for those who love Him and those who adore Him. The best thing on that particular day, on 9/11/2001, the best thing that could have happened to a person was to not have been in the Twin Towers. Could you have imagined what that would have been like if nobody had reported to work that day? If there had been a tip that said, look, we're shutting the building down. We're just notifying all the employees. We don't want anybody within a 10-block radius of this. We've got your suspicion. This is what's going on. I know it's going to happen. And nobody would have been there. 3,000-plus people's lives would have been spared. And you know what we say? Well, you know what? The problem is we didn't know what was going to happen. And you're absolutely right. But let me tell you this. You know this is going to happen. You know it. You know it. So what are you going to do about it? America went to war. Not only did we lose 3,000 lives there, I think about our military men and women who went to protect and ensure the freedoms that we have that we just kind of spit on today. I know people. You know people who put their lives on the line so that you and I might have this opportunity of freedom that we enjoy and take for granted. Oh no, I'm not going to forget 9/11. But I'm not just remembering ground zero. I am remembering the 20 years that those have stood in the gap that I can stand up here and freely preach Jesus Christ, and I'm grateful for them. I'm grateful for those who I've known who have gone over there so I can do what I can do, so that we can go as a church and enjoy a picnic today. Folks, that was not cheap. That was bought with a price. And people sit back and say, well, boy, I'll tell you one thing. You sure are, you know, pro-EMS, pro-police, and pro-military. Yes, I am, and as well we all should be. They fought over there so we wouldn't have to fight here. Remember that statement? America is under attack. It's easy for us to not worry about it when it's over there. When it's over in Afghanistan. When it's over in Fallujah. We don't see it right here in our own backyard. But when it happened in our own backyard, it got the attention of America. And for a while, our country came together like nobody's business, didn't they? What happened between then and now? We need to love and respect one another in a godly love. and the love of the Lord. Understanding that Jesus has told us. So why am I so passionate about this? This is what God's called me on this planet to do. I am standing up here saying there's going to be another tragedy that's going to be on a major scale compared to what you saw at 9/11. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. I can't tell you the day. I can't tell you the time. But I will guarantee you it's going to happen. And if you knew that, you would say to me, well, what can I do to get prepared? Well, I'm glad you ask. You can trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life and stop with the games. Stop with the nonsense. Stop with the, well, if I go to church and I'm a good person, I'm going to get to heaven. That's a lie straight from Satan and hell himself. Heaven's going to be full of good people, and so's hell. It's a personal walk. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Here's the warning. The warning comes out of Matthew 24:44, and it says this, therefore you also be ready. Well, how do you get ready? You trust in Jesus. You walk with Him. You talk with Him. You have that personal relationship. You make Him your own. You become one of the family of God. You become one of His children. Verse 44, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. It could be any moment right now. Are you ready? Are you ready? I would to God that every one of us are ready. That if the trumpet sounded right now, this would be the most desolate, empty place on the planet. That the air conditioning would be running, the projector would still be running, the sound would still be on, there'd still be a broadcast going out. I pray that if you're on the other end of this broadcast, that your car winds up destroyed as you're driving down the road. That your house, you know, it'll probably burn down because lunch is cooking on the stove right now and there ain't going to be nobody there to shut it off. I would to God there's nobody in your house or in your car or in your church or in your family that is left behind when the trumpet sounds. Does that put a little bit of a different perspective on a lot of things in your life? Should it put a little different perspective on Central Baptist Church as a church that we need to be about the Father's business because we don't have time to mess around with piddly-andy little stuff. It's about reaching people with Jesus. It is about the kingdom, not about the person. We can get so wrapped up in us. We have become, America has become a society of the most selfish, hateful people to be around. Now, how do I know that? Because I've been outside this country. I go annually. I go where people love to come together and serve the Lord. They love to be a part. Listen, there ain't no such thing as social distancing in Cuba. Social distancing is sitting shoulder to shoulder with your shoulders touching each other in the church for hours. And you think I'm long? They look at me like I'm sick or something. I get up, preach for 45 minutes, and they go, is he done? Oh, yeah, you can see me preach myself to death there. And where you can see the Spirit, you can feel the Spirit. I've shared with you before. I was worried. I thought, we're going to be late, man. We still got an hour drive to get to the place. It's a half hour before things are getting ready to start, and we're just sitting down to eat like we got all the time in the world. I mean, the thing was starting. I'm like, church is supposed to be starting. Shouldn't we, like, be going? They're like, oh, it'd be all right. And it had been going on for an hour when we got there, and they were singing and they were praising God. They were just loving on each other. They were loving on the Lord. And then I thought, well, okay, they're just waiting. They're just doing this. And then when we walk in, they'll say, come on up, and it's time for you to pray. Oh, no. They sang for another hour. Then I preached. And that particular night, there were 12 people that came to know Jesus. And there were 1,200 people there. Some had walked all day just to get to that particular evening service. You know, that stuff makes me feel guilty. Well, I don't like how the seat feels. Could somebody please turn the air conditioning on? Hey, I know air conditioning over there. If your air conditioning is hoping you're sitting in front of the fan. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. We have gotten spoiled. Spoiled. May 9/11 bring new perspective. Not only for our country, not only for our firefighters and our police officers, not only for our soldiers, but may it bring new perspective to God's people, Christians. May we truly be ready for what's getting ready to take place. May we be prepared so that when it happens, not only have we anticipated it, we welcome it. Lord, come now. I'm ready. My ticket has been purchased and punched. My bags are packed, and I'm not going to let this old world and everything in it keep me from the joy that is Jesus. Last time I checked, my father owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. He's got this. Last time I checked, he never told us that all of our life was going to be peachy and rosy. In fact, it's going to be a rough ride. When you ride with Jesus, you're going to hit some bumps. You're going to be off-road. You ready to be off-road? Better yet, are you ready to see Jesus? Therefore, verse 44, you also be ready. Are you ready? That's my question. I'm going to ask Lynn if she would take her place. Are you ready? Listen, that's not Roy saying that. Look, that's what the Scripture says. Verse 44, therefore, you also be ready. Are you ready? Have you trusted Jesus? I'm not asking if you went down and prayed with the preacher. I'm not asking any of that. I'm not asking if you checked boxes and filled this out. I'm not asking if you're good. I'm not asking how much money you give. I'm not asking any of that. I am asking you if you have a friend in Jesus and a Savior in Jesus. That's what I'm asking. I didn't even ask you about church. I asked you about Jesus. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Just like the morning of September the 11th, 2001. It's coming. Are you hearing me? It's coming. You're being warned today. The Spirit is dealing with your heart. It is the Word of God that's convicting you, not me. But let me tell you, it's coming. See, I'm that guy that's running into the towers right now going, look, y'all get your stuff and come with me. There's an inbound aircraft. It's going to fly into the building. Get your stuff. Come with me. Let's go. Let's get out of here. Come to safety. And you know what? There was probably people who would go, what's this guy, crazy? Listen, that took place because after the first tower was hit, nobody knew what was going on. They started to evacuate the second tower, yet people stayed. Let me tell you one other thing I know. The best in humanity came out. The chaplain at the Pentagon talked about the chaos that was taking place when things happened at the Pentagon. And there was a daycare in the Pentagon. There were 40-some children in that daycare. Now, those 40 didn't perish in the accident, but everybody was scrambling and trying to do it. It was just complete chaos. And the daycare worker was wondering, how am I going to get these children to safety? There's 40 of them. There's the cribs. They've got all the different things. How will I get them to safety? The building is burning. And a young fella went in and said, what do you need? And the daycare worker says, I need some people to help evacuate these children. He turned and immediately left. And the daycare worker thought, well, I guess I'm still on my own. And about 2 minutes later, this young man came back with 40 Marines who grabbed him baby beds and those toddlers and headed out to down by the Potomac. and the scene, and I've seen pictures of it. The scene was that those Marines took those baby cribs and circled them like they did the wagons back in the old Western days. They circled things up with them baby beds and put the toddlers in the middle so they couldn't all wander off. And 40 Marines stayed with every one of those children until their parents were there to pick them up. Nobody was going to mess with them children. That was their job. That was their mission. They stood around the perimeters at attention and guarded them babies until they could be handed back to mama and daddy. You think you were going to harm one of them babies that day? Think again. The best in humanity came out. Do you know Jesus? Are you ready? Have you trusted him as your Savior? Have you called on his name and said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Come into my life and save my soul. I'm not worried about all the paperwork things and all these things that we do humanistically. I'm worried about the spiritual side. Are you ready? Because let me make this clear to you, just like 9/11. I have come into a building today and told you, trouble's coming. Tragedy's coming. Are you ready? And I pray that you will look inside your heart today at your personal walk with Jesus to be able to say, yes, Lord, I am ready. If it happened today, I am going to be in your presence. If not, you need to get that made straight with him today. There's nothing magical about coming to talk with me. There's nothing magical about a preacher's prayer. Wherever you are, right now, it is critical that it be done right now. You bow your head. If you're watching online, if you're driving down the road, wherever you may be, if you're sitting in this place and you don't know Jesus, you can bow your head and say, Lord, today I know I'm a sinner and need a Savior. Come into my life. Save my soul. Now listen, if you did that, I mean it with all my heart. That's what the Word tells us. If you meant that, and that was a sincere prayer, here's what happened. The Lord's written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that don't mean that we're fully prepared. We're supposed to grow in his love and grow in his grace. We're fully prepared to see him. But you know, life's bumpy, isn't it? So my question is this. What decision has God put on your heart today? Maybe to draw you close to him. Maybe it was for salvation. Whatever it may be. I'm going to beg you right now to do business with God, that you don't leave this place the same way you came in. That your walk with the Lord has been strengthened, that he has spoken to you through his word, that we see from a different perspective today. Life's too short to get caught up in the muck and the mud and the mire. May we be instruments in the hand of the Father. I'm just going to ask that you stand where you are. If you need me, I'm here. If you need this altar, it's here. I still believe in a good old-fashioned altar call, whether it's in your heart or whether it's at the altar proper. If you need me, I'm here. The altar, it's here. As Lynn leads us in our time of invitation, you respond to the Father. Set me free. Continue to respond to our master. I'm going to ask our baptismal candidates if they would make their way down to the front, and we just go right through that door and up the stairs. I'll meet you up there in just a moment. And yeah, you continue to do business with the Father. Thank you, Jesus. I am so thankful today that God has just done some incredible, incredible things in my life, and some incredible things in the church and in your lives. It's been fun to be a part of that. That doesn't mean it's all been good. That means we've laughed together, we've cried together, we've done all kinds of things together, and we still will. But are you ready? That's the key. That's the key. I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down front at this time as we receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. As they're coming down, I want to make a quick announcement or two. First of all, I want you to thank the Lord for the fact that Bill Briley is on his way home. You've seen the prayer request for Bill. He'd been in the hospital with COVID, but Monty is bringing him home today. So be sure to lift up prayers of thanks for Bill as he battled the COVID. We're looking forward to having him back with us and on his feet as soon as he possibly can, but just continue to keep him in your prayers as he recovers. And also, we have a called conference. We're calling a conference for 2 weeks from today. That's October the 26th. That called conference is for the purpose of voting on an interim music personnel for our church. We will get you by way of our correspondence his resume, as well as an opportunity for you to ask any questions. We're asking you to go ahead and do that. You can ask our personnel team. We'll get that information to you as well. But at any rate, we're looking to bring him on as an interim through January, where we will reevaluate in January. So this is going to be a recommendation that's going to be coming from personnel and finance, because there'll also be the pay will be included in that. We will send you the actual motion as well as his resume early this week. We'll have copies at the church if you need them from there. But the big thing for right now, called conference October 26th, immediately following our Sunday morning service. So let me say a word of thanks for the offering that we're about to receive, and then don't leave. Listen, we're going to celebrate with baptism, and then we're going to make sure we go to the picnic. Yes, Dave. September the 26th. What did I say? I was just seeing if y'all were awake. Dave, I'll get you an oatmeal cookie. That's in 2 weeks from today. So yeah, as you can see, my brain is thinking a little bit ahead. That is September the 26th. So thank you, Dave, for not letting me completely mess that one up. Let me return thanks for our offering, and let's celebrate our baptismal candidates, and then we'll go have some hamburgers and hot dogs. Let's pray. Father, you're good to us. We love you. We thank you for the fact that you prepared a way that we don't have to suffer an eternity in hell. Lord, may we be ready this very moment for that trumpet to sound. Lord, may we be ready that if death's door carries us into your presence, that there are no doubts whatsoever about where we are. Father, help us to let those that we know and love know that there's hope, because we are in Christ Jesus, that when we draw our last breath, it is not goodbye, but I'll see you later. Help us, Father. Lord, as we continue our worship for those that are going to follow you in believers' baptism, Lord, what a joyous day this is. Bless our time. May it honor and glorify you. Bless the gift and giver of this offering. Strengthen our church, strengthen our faith, and strengthen, Lord, our economies for being faithful to you, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Who you have been, you'll always be.
never fail. My heart can trust you, Jesus. I won't be overwhelmed. My eyes are gonna see miracles and victories. You are a promise keeper. Your word will never fail. You will return all that's been stolen. There's nothing that you can't redeem. The story's still unfolding with everything I've seen. How could I not believe? You are a promise keeper. Your word will never fail. My heart will trust you, Jesus. I won't be overwhelmed. Miracles and victories. You are a promise keeper. Your word will never fail. I'll see your goodness in the land of the living. I'll see your goodness right here. Seated to take a hymnal. We haven't used those in a while. If you'll take a hymnal and turn to 344. Jesus loves me, this I know, for
as Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
I keep hearing talking, thinking they're getting ready to come out. Let's sing that old Baptist hymn, 514.
Let's go down to the river, because it's probably warmer. Hey, we're thankful for a lot of things. We're thankful that we have a baptistry, but like I said, into everybody's life, a little rain must come. So evidently the heater's broke, and this is well water, so we're going to baptize quick. At any rate, listen, we're glad that we can gather together today as God's people in the Lord's house to be able to celebrate this time. I've always said this, baptism does not equal salvation, but baptism is an act of obedience following salvation. So when we do this, this is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the folks who are being baptized, this is their public profession to you. See, a public profession is not when you come talk to the preacher. Your public profession is when you follow through the waters of baptism. So we're here today to celebrate with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's all right to do that. We don't have to look like we're in class somewhere, like, shh, be quiet. It's all right to celebrate, okay? It's all right to clap and cheer them on, because you know what? This is a big step. Amen?
Amen.
Let's celebrate. To my brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Ella. Ella, have you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life?
Yes, sir.
In obedience to the great command of our Lord and Savior, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Okay, you hold your nose. Woo! All right, Angel, come on down. And by the way, you notice the shirts. The shirts actually say made new and have a verse out of 2 Corinthians on them as a testimony. I'm just going to talk so I can let you get colder. A lot of you all know this is my sister in Christ, Angel. Angel, have you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life?
Yes, I have.
In obedience to the great command of our Lord and Savior, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Hey man, listen, this is what it's all about. It's all about trusting Jesus, loving Him, and having a great time of fellowship together in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. This is my brother in Christ, Carson. Carson, have you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life?
Yes, sir.
In obedience to the great command of our Lord and Savior, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. This is my big brother in Christ, also a law enforcement officer who went through the times of 9/11 and so many other things, but what a joy Fred has been as my friend as well as my brother in Christ. Fred, have you trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life?
Yes, I have.
In obedience to the great command of our Lord and Savior, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Ready? 1, 2, 3. all the time. God is good. Now listen, don't forget, we've got the church picnic. That is at Triad Park. And some people may say, well, I didn't sign up for it. Listen, come anyway. We're just going to have some hamburgers and hot dogs. We're going to have a time of fellowship. It's Triad Park, shelter number one. So when you go in Triad Park, you need to go to the left. I'm getting ready to close this in prayer. I need a paper. But before I do, just a real quick item. Is that don't forget those having birthdays this week. Tuesday, Dexter Andy. Saturday, Harbor Gant, Atticali Andy, and Sandy Stewart. If you get a chance, be sure to wish them a very, very happy birthday. And anniversaries for this week, Ken and Beverly Allred are celebrating. We're not going to say how many, but it's not the first one, right? Ken and Beverly's anniversary, My bride and I celebrate our 29th today as well. So Ken and Beverly's is today. So's mine and Jana's. Mitch and Misty Logan also celebrate anniversary today. And then Tuesday, Tammy and David Bowman will be celebrating their anniversary. So if you send cards or have a chance to shoot them a text, give them a call, whatever generation you're floating with, be sure to let them know that you're celebrating with them. Again, God is good.
All the time.
God is good. Let's pray together. Let's stand. I know y'all been sitting for a little while. You can stand up. We'll dismiss in a word of prayer. And we'll get everybody on over to the picnic. I will be saying the blessing at the picnic at 1 o'clock. So I'll be making a quick change. And then we'll be grabbing some grub. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this day, the time to celebrate, to come around your word, to come around and just worship you in song as well as through your word and through preaching. Thank you, Lord, so much for these that faithfully have followed you, not only in salvation, Lord, that's the key thing, but they've taken that step to follow you, to be obedient, to follow in believers' baptism. Today we celebrate each of these four. Lord, we pray that we'll continue to be a great example for them. Lord, help us to be a part of their life and them a part of our lives as we go forward. And Lord, we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, before you go, I got one quick thing to do. They also requested membership based on their salvation and baptism. So to make it short, brief, and quick, do I hear a motion these candidates be received for membership? Is there a second? All those who rejoice in their coming signify with a hearty amen.
Amen.
Any opposed in a like manner? All right, you're dismissed. We'll get the information and plow forward from there. Love you.